Dharma, the Sangha. In the 9th chapter of the Dharma Sutra, it says, Subhuti, what do you think? Does the Holy One say within himself, I have obtained perfect enlightenment? Subhuti said, No, World Honored One. Wherefore? Because there is no such condition as that called perfect enlightenment. If a Holy One of a perfect enlightenment said to himself, Such am I, he would necessarily partake of the idea of an ego entity, a personality, a being, or a separated individuality. World Honored, when the Buddha declares that I, Subhuti, among holy men, in the meditation of perfect stillness, in dwelling in seclusion, and in freedom from passions, that I excel in all of these, I do not say within myself, I am a holy one of perfect enlightenment, free from passions. If I said this within myself, you would not declare, Subhuti finds happiness abiding in peace, in seclusion in the midst of the forest. This is because Subhuti abides nowhere. Therefore he is called Subhuti, joyful abider in peace, dweller in seclusion in the forest. In the modern computer world, with the development of the internet, there's now this thing they call the cloud. And some people are putting, I think now perhaps a lot of people are putting memory that used to have on their personal computers into the cloud. In a way, this is a, as far as it goes, a good little analogy for what's being talked about here in this chapter. It's not that people do not make progress in training. Very great progress in training is possible, and the experience of enlightenment is possible. The conversion of greed, hate, and delusion into compassion, love, and wisdom is possible. All of these things are possible, and they do happen. And if we were to try to clutch at any of them, to cling to them, they dissolve away into nothingness. No matter how far we go in training, we're always returning to what I call the zero reset. Having nothing, knowing nothing, clinging to nothing. Sometimes people wonder, I've done all these years of training, what have I got to show for it? The answer is you've got nothing. And if you sit still within the nothing and look up, the whole universe is there. love beyond our wildest dreams, as Reverend Master put it. Entrusting all that we have, all that we know, all that we long for, into the hands of the Eternal, is like putting the stuff that was on your personal computer into the cloud. Now you can relax. Your personal computer can bust, as they seem to do all too often. Your hard drive can blow out. You can lose all the memory on your personal computer. You've entrusted everything to the cloud. It's looked after there for you. Whatever we have realized in training, however far we have gone, we can just continually entrust it all into the hands of the Eternal and forget about it. Part of that entrusting is trusting that when it's needed, it'll be there for us. It'll pop up. The Eternal will hand it back. And it never belonged to us in the first place, and we could never hold on to it in the first place. So we remove a tremendous amount of worry and fear. We can be content in that place of having nothing, knowing nothing, clinging to nothing. Indeed, that is the place of perfect contentment. We can let enlightenment and delusion look after themselves. We can let attainment and stupidity look after themselves. We don't have to worry about them. All we have to do is do the next thing that is good to do. And then the next thing that is good to do. And then the next thing that is good to do. We can keep our intention right close to home. This, of course, isn't a teaching that's unique to Buddhism. When that famous saying from the New Testament, from the Gospels, where Jesus is reported to have talked about the lilies of the field, telling his disciples, don't worry about the future, don't worry about how you'll be fed and clothed. The flowers in the field are looked after, so will you be. It's talking about the same thing. Entrust yourself into the hands of the Eternal. It doesn't mean that then you don't ever do any work. You're just trusting that the work that comes your way will be the right work for you. And that you'll be able to do it. Reverend Master so often said, if we clutch after enlightenment, it's someone whose hand is in the flowing water of a stream, who clutches after the water and comes up with an empty hand. You can trail your hand in the stream. You can't possess the stream. You can't possess the water. You can live within original enlightenment in trusting everything into the hands of the Eternal and allowing the Eternal to give you what you need from moment to moment. But you can't possess enlightenment . Would an enlightened separate self be any better than a deluded separate self? There's still the anguish, the conviction of separation from the Eternal. The whole joy of real enlightenment is there is just the Eternal. I am not him, he is all of me. And since all is one and all is different, no one can stay in that place. You go in, you come back out. You called in to the place of oneness, you go back out to do the things that need to be done. We cannot stay in that place in the sense of holding a particular state of mind and feeling. But in fact, we live in that place all the time anyway. Since in truth there is nothing separate from the Eternal. The real question for us is, do we recognize this fact and live accordingly? Or do we create clouds in a clear sky and confuse ourselves so that we wander lost, seeking a refuge, while always we're actually right within our true refuge? The hard work of training is not to become enlightened. It's not to behave and think like an unenlightened person. Not to behave and think like someone who does not have the Buddha nature. So Subhuti was the disciple of the Buddha who was in fact the one who excelled all others in certain qualities. These simply manifested naturally as aspects of his particular facet of training and enlightenment. His particular facet of an infinitely faceted jewel. But if he ever tried to make it his in the sense of selfish attainment, then it would be nowhere to be found. And then because he was not trying to make it his, in that sense, the Buddha could say that he does indeed have these qualities and excel in them. In the beginning, mountains are mountains, then mountains are not mountains, then mountains are mountains again. Amish to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Amish to all the Bodhisattvas.
time.